The reading this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 7. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in such generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do this as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these powerful passages of Scripture from the Bible, your Word. Thank you that today here we can publicly read the Bible with no fear of persecution. How amazing, Lord. Thank you that your Word challenges, rebukes, corrects, guides and lead us into ways of holy living. We thank and praise you for our pastor and our brother David. Thank you for blessing him to lead us with godly wisdom and knowledge. We ask, meet with us now by your Holy Spirit, that we might have open ears to hear, hearts and spirits that will receive, and minds expectant to be transformed through what you will say through David this morning. Holy Spirit, bless and anoint your son David to speak with boldness and grace all that you've placed on his heart. Come, Lord Jesus, meet with us now and help us to focus on you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jilly. And it's so good to see everyone here in the building. And greetings to everyone who's watching this online, whether live or on catch up. And we are coming on this special World Missions Gift Day to pause in our series that we've been looking at as we've been going through the Bible. And we're going to focus on this passage in 2 Corinthians 8 to help us think about our theme today of generosity. And I want to particularly think about the poorest of the poor, one of those priority areas that our giving is going towards. I remember very clearly the first time I went to India. I was visiting a friend from university, and I was staying with his family. He was half Indian, and I remember I had got sick with a kind of sickness bug, and his family were a Hindu family. I was the only kind of Christian staying with them, and I remember kind of being completely overwhelmed by the scale of the needs, both physically and spiritually in India. I remember I went up towards the end of my time there onto the flat roof of my friend's house in Delhi. And I remember praying there and saying, God, I would really rather not come back here, be called back to India, but God, I want you to know I'm willing. I just found, even though I'd grown up in Nairobi, in Kenya, a big city, and lots of issues in Nairobi too, yet India was just on a whole other scale. Delhi just was completely overwhelming. And so when a decade later, I found myself back in India, this time in a very different situation with a team from the church here at Holland Road. We were just on the outskirts of Hyderabad. I wanted to go back up to a flat roof, and I found one in the place where we were staying, and I again went up and prayed, and it felt so different. The needs in India, both spiritually and physically, were still massive. But this time, I had come not on my own, but with brothers and sisters in Christ. And we were partnering with some wonderful Indian Christians. And this time as well, I knew where we were joining God in meeting some of these needs in this place. We'd come and we were on our way to visit a school that we'd already started partnering with. And here is a picture of a team of us who were just welcomed amazingly by the staff. There's the staff, about 20 staff and about 185 kids in this school in a kind of rural area outside Hyderabad. We were able to just see some of the kids that are giving us touch and are praying, meets with them, and just what a privilege and joy to share with some of these kids and then go and visit the church nearby where we also supported the pastor and this church of about 80 folks that we have had the privilege now for over 15 years of standing with them and encouraging them and blessing them. And you know, it was so different going back this second time. But yet, these school and this church are ministering in a predominantly Dalit community. And if you don't know much about the Dalits, it was briefly mentioned in that video, there's over 200 million of them. And they are some of the poorest people in our planet. I just found out even this week as I was just doing some more research that, you know, 60% of Dalit children are chronically malnourished. 60% of that 200 million. And I've been thinking of them so much, these folks that are the most trafficked people in the world. And I've been thinking about how, you know, in this time of a COVID pandemic, how it's so often the poorest and those who are forced to do the jobs that no one else wants to do, who are affected most. And so too in this time where India is being massively impacted by COVID, the people there, the Dalit people, are again facing such huge need. You know, it's easy as we kind of think about lockdown being eased tomorrow and this next step here. We can sometimes think, oh, God, we're getting through this. But I read in the Guardian just recently that in the last 2 weeks kind of globally, there have been more cases of COVID than in the first 6 months of the pandemic put together. Folks, we need to look beyond ourselves and see the huge needs in our world. You know, I wonder when you hear the news or think about a place like that, I wonder if you've ever felt overwhelmed like I did on that first trip. I wonder if you've ever thought, how can I make a difference? Well, that is what this passage is going to help us with today, because the Corinthian church and this church in Macedonia that Paul is writing about, they had heard about a famine that was going on back in Jerusalem and the region around there. And in fact, Paul had been encouraged by the Apostle Peter, and Apostle Peter had said to him, remember the poor. And as we come and think about the poorest of the poor today, we want to come and allow this passage to touch us again and stir generosity in us as we remember our poor brothers and sisters around the world. The Lord Jesus said himself, amazingly, in Acts 20, verse 35, we have it recorded here, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There is a better way to live than us just going and thinking, oh, we can now just spend our money as we want or do what the kind of culture around us encourages us to do. There's a better way to live. There's this way of giving and generosity, and it is a privilege. That's the first thing I want us to see this morning. Giving is a privilege. Generosity is a privilege that the Macedonian church got. They understood it. Look, in verse 4 it says, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing with the saints. You know, the Apostle Paul wants us to see how the Macedonian church gave so that it can inspire us and the church in Corinth. And he starts in verse 1, he says this, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given these Macedonian churches. There was something beautiful about their generosity that had kind of become known and was being spread around the region. And one of the things that's remarkable about the Macedonian church is that they weren't a well-off church. They're actually, as we see in verse 2, it says, out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. One of the things I've been amazed as I've traveled around different parts of the world, in India or Kenya or Ethiopia, is I've so often been amazed by the generosity of those who are poor. And I want to say one of the things that I was just amazed at last year, in all the financial uncertainty that we have been through as a nation, and many in the church have, the amazing generosity of Holland Road as well in these days where it has been a real trial that so many have gone through. But you know, generosity is not just something that's limited to a few people who are well off, or a few people when things are going okay in their lives. Generosity, brothers and sisters, is for anyone. Any of us can be generous. And verse 2 has this sense that there's something that is kind of irrepressible, kind of bursting out of them. This kind of overflowing joy that is breaking the chains that could so easily have been there, of fear or of selfishness in there, particularly the poverty that they faced in Macedonia. And yet these chains are kind of being broken as this kind of rich generosity springs out. It's interesting, isn't it? We're not told the kind of value of the gift, but we are told about the value of their generosity. Their rich generosity. I wonder if you ever thought about what makes a gift or makes a person generous. I've been thinking about this as I've been digging into the passage afresh, and verse 3 in this passage has really, really challenged me. I want to read it for you and listen to these words. This is the Macedonian churches. It says this. Paul says, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able." I've been thinking this week, how much am I able to give? How much am I able to give? And I want to encourage you, just as the Macedonian church did, to think about that question. How much are you able to give? And what I know in my own life is that that varies. There are different seasons, different times, different amount that I'm able to give. And one of the things that we know that the scripture encourages even later is to give what God puts on our heart to give. And yet I've been so inspired by this Macedonian church that didn't just give what they were able, it goes on and says, and even beyond their ability. Wow. That's generosity. And as I come into this time, I've been wanting myself to be inspired again to think, God, I want to live a generous life, one of these lives that is just touched by you, to be a vessel through which you can pour. And I know so many in this church who've inspired me in that journey. So I asked someone this week, I said, why do you give? And they said, it's exciting. It's an exciting adventure. And then they said, it's a privilege to give. And I thought, that is exactly right. They didn't know I was actually going to be speaking on this verse, particularly in verse 4. But this is exactly what the Macedonians said. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing with the saints. You know, sharing is so beautiful. Parents are often encouraging their kids, come on, share with one another. And the reason is because the opposite is really ugly. It's really ugly. And actually, it's not just as kids that we need encouragement to share. You know, as adults, the scriptures, the Apostle Paul, the words of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's conviction, it keeps on encouraging us, share with our brothers and sisters who we're members of the same body of Christ with. Let's share what God has given us. And what a privilege. You know, what a privilege to give to our brothers and sisters in India through the Dignity Freedom Network, which is bringing dignity and freedom to Dalit children across that region. It's the umbrella organization for not just the school that we support, but 100 other schools. And it's amazing what they've been able to do this past year. Last year, they were able to, through this kind of network of schools, actually bring in 400,000 villagers to give them some training help them understand more about the virus and hand washing. They were able to offer video consultations and actually have doctors based at 17 of those 100 schools. They saw patients in person at them. They were able to provide PPE and meals for like millions of the kind of people in those areas. In fact, in 10 of those schools, they became relief centers for the local community. And even in these very poor areas, they worked out how they could set up students to learn from home with some remote learning and lessons and things like that. Now, as this kind of COVID cases are just so bad in India at the moment, what this amazing organization, the Dignity Freedom Network, is looking to do is to supply medical supplies and treatment, food and nutrition and other essential supplies for those facing starvation because they have no work and no income due to lockdown. You know, there's not the benefit system and the NHS system there like there is here. They really are brothers and sisters of ours who are starving in India. They really are brothers and sisters of ours who haven't got the access to the vaccine and the oxygen and the medicines. And I need to keep letting God touch my heart and think, God, what am I able to give? What are we able to give? And it isn't just there. God has given us this partnership in India, but he's also given us in places like Sri Lanka with Brother Ranjan. And this brother has been here and preached many times at Holland Road. And one of the things that Ranjan's just emailed this week and said, actually, this same variant that is beginning to sort of even be here and that there was there in India is now spreading in Sri Lanka. And the situation is becoming really serious in Sri Lanka too. And we have the privilege of sharing with our brothers and sisters in need. But you know, to give generously, to do this again and again and again, you know, it's costly. But it is worth it. It's a privilege, and yet it's a choice that we have to make each time we are faced with an opportunity to give. And so this is the second and last thing I want us to see. Generosity is a choice. In verse 3, we read in that very powerful verse where it said they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability. Then it ends like this, entirely of their own. Entirely of their own. It was their decision. It was a free choice they had to give. And again, we've kept coming back to this verse through this pandemic about our giving in verse 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, where it says, each man, each person should give what they have decided in their heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We cheerfully give what he has given to us. You know, there is a lot of virtue signaling in our culture at the moment. You know, you want to be seen to be doing the right kind of thing. And actually, that can be a bit of a motivation to give sometimes. But I want to say this, it's a really poor motivation. It's a really poor motivation. Because actually, so often that's about, well, look at me and about us. And actually, it misunderstands the most powerful source for generosity that there is. And that is here repeated time and again in this passage. It starts in verse 1, it's repeated in verse 6, it's there in verse 7. It's this: brothers and sisters, you know the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. It's this word grace, this act of grace, this excelling in the grace of giving. It's grace. Grace takes us back to the origin. It's this wonderful picture of who it is that gives us what we then have to give. This word grace points to this reality that my friend, when I asked them, you know, why do you give? They not just said it was a privilege. They said, well, because everything I have is from God. It's this picture that we know that we have received, freely we've received, so freely we give. A generous life flows out of grace. And so as that grace touches us, we don't just have good intentions. We see that in verse 6. They're encouraged to bring that to completion. But it's not a kind of thing that they're just doing. It's not all about them. It's actually about what God has done in them. We receive God's grace, His generosity to us, this one who we were singing about just before the service. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my all. It's the amazing grace of God that then causes us to respond in generosity. To not just respond in a little generosity, but it says this: see that you, at the end of verse 7, excel in this grace of giving. I'm so inspired by this church and learned so much about generosity through this church. But you know why? Because this group of people at Holland Road keep pointing me back to Jesus. And it's Jesus who inspires me most. If you want to see a picture of the excellence of giving, look at Jesus Christ. Look at the one who's the center of this story that we've been thinking about in this series. Look at this one who came and gave not just physical help to those in need, but came and gave spiritual help. And not just, to, again, did he kind of lift us in this life, but he lifts us in amazing ways in giving us an inheritance with him. This passage goes on in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, and it says this: for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus Christ was the Prince of Heaven, and yet he came not just to a stable, not just into a refugee lifestyle, not just to be someone who served those in need, but he eventually came to a cross. He was stripped, had nothing, even his clothes taken from him, even his life. And yet he did that for me and for you, to give us his riches in heaven, to share with us this amazing eternal inheritance that the Bible says you and I, as we believe in Christ, as we put our trust in him, as we say, yes, thank you for your grace, your gift, as we receive that, we become co-heirs. I mean, it is amazing. And it is this amazing privilege that we have in Christ, this security, this riches that we have in the Lord Jesus, which I want to fill our hearts as we come to the end of this this passage and of our service this morning. Let's fill our gaze with all that we have in him. It's so easy to compare ourselves with people around us, people in the city or others that we know. But look up and don't forget what you have in Christ. Don't forget what he has made possible. He chose to be generous so that you and I could choose to be generous. He paid it all so that we could receive and be able then to give freely as well. You see, generosity is a choice. It's a choice that we can confidently make because of the security we have in Christ eternally. It's a choice that amazingly comes with a promise that those who sow generously reap generously. And I know that has been my experience time and again. And so I want to encourage you to excel in this grace of giving again, to come and just say, God, would you help us keep growing? That is my heart. I've been thinking as I was just asking my friend that question, why do you give? I was thinking about that question for myself. You know, why do I give? And like that friend, there's all kinds of reasons. You know, I was thinking, that why do I give? Because of what Jesus has done for me and given to me, because of his grace. You know, why do I give? Because it's a joy. These days fill me with such joy. Because I give because it's hard. And I want to remember that following Jesus is worth it, even if I'm getting persecuted. You know, I give because it's a privilege to share with God's people who need, because I care about some of these people and situations and projects we partner with. You know, I give because it breaks the strongholds of materialism in my life, and I want to encourage that as a culture in our church that goes against the culture in the world. But I give, again, above all, because Jesus wants me to. And like these Macedonian Christians in verse 5, they gave themselves first to the Lord. I give because today it's really not about just giving a gift financially. It's about coming again and saying, God, I want to give you my all. I give you myself, Lord. We give you ourselves afresh. We come and say, God, all that I am, all that I have is yours. And then as we do that, we hold an open hands and say, so Lord, I bring these gifts. I bring these prayers. I bring my life. So shall we come and just pray? Let's pause and we give ourselves to the one who gave himself first and foremost to us. We come to receive grace. Band's just going to come up and begin to play, and I invite you, might just want to hold your hands open in front of you. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. I receive your grace afresh. Your generosity to me. I believe in Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that I'm a co-heir with Christ. Thank you for the way you've blessed me, Lord. Thank you for the way you've blessed us. And so, Lord, help me share. Help me share today what I've received. Help me, Jesus, as I follow you, to excel in this grace of giving. Maybe you've been doing this, but it's a great moment to just come and do it again. Or if maybe for the first time, just say, Lord, everything I have is yours. Lord, what would you have me give today? So in your wonderful grace, we just open our lives to be channels of blessing to others. And all that we give with gratitude and joy and thankfulness in our hearts. Take and use it, Lord, to bless the nations. Your wonderful name. Amen.